Let's open our service looking at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the second chapter. As you're turning there, let me tell you that Eric Floyd is preaching in Danville this morning. I want to pray for him as he preaches, and he and Abby as they travel. And we have our conference scheduled. You see that in the scheduled in the bulletin for May. We look forward to that. Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin our reading in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We will end our reading there. All right, let's stand together as Isaac leads us in singing our call to worship.
Thou art the way to thee alone, from sin and death we flee, and he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. Thou art the truth, thy word alone true wisdom can impart. Thou only can inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life, the open tomb proclaims thy conquering arm, and those who have their trust in thee, nor death nor hell can harm. Thou art the way, the truth, the life, grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow.
Turn to page 126.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me,
you would please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Read a portion of 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that beareth record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that beareth witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. When we're reading there. Just thank God for his word and bow in prayer, please. Our holy heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you provided, this place where you provided that we can come and gather around the preaching of the gospel. Thank you for it. We pray that you continue to keep it here for years to come. Continue to give us faithful men to study and to prepare and preach to us out of your word. Teach us more of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful that you've seen fit to love a people, to set your love upon sinners, and to provide a salvation for sinners that we have no ability to help ourselves out of. But thank you for the precious atoning work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blood that he spilled to atone for our sin. Cause us each day to know and to be thankful for the work that he's done for us. Let us also be thankful for the many blessings of this life that you've given us to take care of our family, our homes, our jobs. Let us not take these for granted, but be thankful each day for all that we have. Know that it's a gift of your hand. Pray for those men that stand and preach this morning. Think of Eric and others. Pray that you give Eric and Abby safe travels home. Let them come back here to gather with us again around the preaching of the gospel. As we leave here this morning, we ask that you go with us. Leave us not alone. Go with us each day and protect us and guide us and direct us. Increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Father, we pray for a true hour of worship this morning. Teach us out of your gospel and show us more of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These things we ask and pray in his name. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I titled the message this morning, Complete in Him. I took my title from verse 10. The apostle says, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, before I get to us, the believer, being complete in Him, I want us to start where the gospel starts, with our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to begin thinking about the glory of Christ the Savior. Paul says in verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead, everything that God is, dwells in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the man, Jesus of Nazareth, is a real man. And he is fully God. Everything that God is dwells in his body. Every attribute of God dwells fully and completely in the man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's full of every attribute of God. So there's no room for anything else. He is fully God. Everything that God is dwells in that human body. I want you to think of this, how amazing that is. Every attribute of God. And before I go on, I want to make sure our young ones know what an attribute is. It's not a word we use very commonly, but an attribute is a characteristic of a person. A person's characteristics, their attributes, tell us what that person is like. What kind of person are they? Well, their attributes, their characteristics tell you. Well, God's attributes tell us what God is like. God has all power. He's the Almighty. He has all might. He has all power. And the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the power of God. The power of God to save. The power of God to give life to his people. The power of God to keep his people. He's full of the power of God. God has all wisdom. God is so wise. He found a way to be both just and justifier. He found a ransom that would ransom his people, that would redeem his people from their sins. Well, Christ is full of the wisdom of God. All the wisdom of God is found in him. It's in Christ, in the person of Christ, in his obedience, and his sacrifice, that God can save in both mercy and justice. The sacrifice of Christ put away the sin of his people and made it right for God to show mercy to his people. That's saving in mercy and justice, to truly put away the sin of God's people so that God could be merciful to them. God's so wise, only God could do that. All the wisdom of God is found in the man, Jesus of Nazareth. God is true. He is truth. For the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the truth of God. He truly makes his people holy and righteous. This is not a pretend thing. God doesn't pretend until someday it's true. He truly, right now, makes his people holy and righteous. God is righteous. We know that, don't we? God is righteous. Everything that God does is righteous and holy and perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of the righteousness of God, and that enables him to make his people righteous. They're not righteous in themselves, but he makes them righteous. God is love, and Christ is full of the love of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that enables God to love sinners by seeing them in Christ. And Christ is full of the love of God. That enables him to love sinners. It's true love. The love of God enables him to love sinners and to give his life a ransom that he might save them. Christ is full of the eternality of God. God is eternal. He has no beginning, has no ending. Neither does the Lord Jesus Christ. His body has a beginning when he was born in Bethlehem, but he doesn't have a beginning. He's eternal. And I tell you why that's important. Because in eternity, when only God existed, the Father elected a people, and he put them in Christ to be their surety. There's never been a time that the Father has seen those people outside of Christ. See, he's eternal. The Father's always seen his people in Christ. He's never seen his people outside of Christ on their own. That means that God's elect have always been loved. They've always been saved. They've always been accepted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's elect have always been justified in Christ. You know, some people hate the thought of eternal justification. You know, they say, oh, I can't be justified, you know, until I believe. And there was a time I was not justified, and then there was a time that I was. That's not true. God's people have always been justified in Christ. In Christ. And some people hate eternal justification, but I love it, and I can tell you why. God can't change. God can't see me one day as unjustified, the next day as justified. God can't change. If I wasn't justified in eternity, I never will be now. But if I was justified in Christ before the foundation of the world, I'll always be justified. I can never lose it because it's all in Him and He's eternal. I mean, you just go on and on and on. You can't think of any attribute of God that does not fully reside in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every attribute of God, Christ is full of it, so that there is no room for anything else. Now, since Christ is full of these attributes, the fullness of God dwells in Christ. They're all in Him. They can't be found anywhere else. God didn't put it here, 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 and over there. God put it all in one place. Then if you need any of this that I just described, go to Christ to get it. Go to Christ to find it. Do you need righteousness? It's all in Christ. Go to Him to have it. Do you need the forgiveness of your sin? It's all in Christ. Do you need spiritual life? You have no life and you need spiritual life. Well, don't try to get a little of it here and a little of it here, a little of it by your doctrine, a little of it by your knowledge, a little of it by your morality, a little of it by Christ, because it's not in all those different, it's in one place. It's all in Christ. Now go to Him to have it. Go to Him. Do you need wisdom? I mean, you need wisdom. Just you don't see how God could save sinners. You don't see how anybody can understand God's word. Do you need wisdom? It's all in Christ. Go to Christ to get it. Go to Christ to find it. Do you need to be loved of God? You can't be loved in your sin. You can't be loved in your vile wretchedness, can you? If you need to be loved of God, go to Christ, because the Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. Then go to Christ to have it. See, go to any blessing of God you can think of, any spiritual blessing that you can think of. It's found in Christ. If you'd have it, go to Christ. Go to Him. I want you to think how glorious this is. That's all in Christ. God made it so easy to find. It's all in one place. The heavens cannot contain God, can they? The heavens can't contain God. Yet God is contained in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. What a glorious person He. Go to Him. Go to Him. Just the wonder of that. Just ought to draw us to Him. Now I want to give you three ways that Christ is our completeness. He's the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you're complete in Him. Christ is completely everything that we need. Everything. Number one, God's elect are made perfect. They're made complete in Christ. Verse 10 says, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That word complete that Paul uses there means perfect. It means full and lacking nothing. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, don't we? We know He's complete. We read it. It is finished. He completed the work that the Father sent Him to do. Everything that God is completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's complete. But Paul says the believer's complete, too. They're complete in Christ. The believer who's in Christ lacks nothing that God requires. Nothing. You have it all in Christ. If you're in Christ, there isn't one drop of righteousness, not one drop of holiness, not one drop of perfection that can be added to you. You're already full. You're already perfect in Christ. Perfectly righteous in Christ. I told you how all of God's righteousness, all of it, is in Christ. Well, you know what? If I'm in Christ, I have all righteousness. All of God's holiness is in Christ. Well, if I'm in Christ, I have all holiness. Christ is my holiness. It's not my actions. It's not how well I behave in front of you. Christ is my righteousness. He is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, holiness, and redemption. Those aren't things. They're a person. Christ is the, if you have Christ, you have all of those things. All of God's redemption of sinners is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm in Christ, then I'm fully, completely redeemed. See, Christ is my redemption. That's my assurance. If Christ is my redemption, I can never perish. The price has been paid. All of God's justification in Christ. I would remind you, justification is being made without sin, having kept God's law perfectly. Well, if I'm in Christ, I have all justification. I'm completely justified. I can never be condemned. I'm innocent of all charges because I have justification in Christ. All of God's wisdom is in Christ. And as ignorant as I am by nature, if I'm in Christ, I have all wisdom. You see, it's in Christ I see all these great mysteries of the Scripture, the great mysteries of salvation, the great mysteries of spirituality is all plain and obvious to see in Christ. In Christ. In Christ, it's easy to see how God can justify sinners. In Christ, it's easy to see how the dead can live. In Christ, it's easy to see how God will keep his people. It's easy. It's easy to see how God's going to call his people. It's easy. If you see Christ, of course you're going to come running to him. Of course, I mean, all those things are so plain and obvious if we see Christ. And if Christ is my wisdom, then my walk and my conduct through this world is going to be directed by him, by looking to him, by following him. If Christ is my wisdom, I'll never fall away, never, because I can never be deceived into trusting something else. I can never go off onto the wide path that leads to destruction, because I'm following Christ. He's my wisdom. All of God's power is in Christ. He has all power. And I tell you what, confidence and peace that gives for my soul. If I'm in Christ, all of God's saving, keeping power is on me. I know I couldn't keep myself for one split second. I know that about myself. If you're honest, you know that about yourself. But this is our confidence. All power is in Christ. And if I'm in him, all of God's power is on me. He'll keep me. He'll keep me. All of God's grace. All of God's mercy. God has all grace, all mercy, doesn't he? It's all his. And he put it all in Christ. So that if I am in Christ, I'm completely covered in God's mercy and God's grace. So I can never perish because I have all of his grace that keeps me. All of God's love is in Christ. So that if I'm in Christ, God's love is, I have the completeness of his love so that God Almighty loves me. Loves me. Now, knowing my sin, knowing my sinful thoughts, the weakness of my flesh, I was, as we were singing, I was sitting there thinking, my goodness. Every once in a while, Janet asked me, Frank Tate, what are you doing? I think of my weakness and my sinfulness and just, oh my goodness, I ought to run from this building and put my hand over my mouth. How in this world can a cold-hearted, dead, rotten sinner, how can he dare think to stand in front of people and talk about God? Boy, I tell you, when I tell you to come to Christ, I'm telling me that. Look to him, flee to him, find in him everything that you need. Knowing my sin and my weakness and just, I mean the sin and weakness I have in the worship service. It sounds highly improbable that a holy God would love me. I mean, just doesn't it seem impossible? Well, it is outside of Christ, because it's all in Christ. And as I just see the tip of the iceberg, but as horrible as I see myself. Imagine what God would see if he sees me outside of Christ. But in his Son, all of the love of God is on me. And God sent proof of it, of his love for his people. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He did that because all of his love is in his Son. God is true. Now this I know, God cannot lie. Everything he says is truth. He's always true to his word. Even if I don't understand it, he's true to this word. He's true to his promises. Well, if I'm in Christ, all of God's truth is completely on me. If God promised to save me in Christ, he'll never cast me out. I don't care how shameful I am, how sinful I am. It doesn't matter. All that sin, all that shame has been put away in the sacrifice of his Son, and God will never cast me out because of my sin. Never. He's true to his word. He's true to his promise. And if you think that's an excuse to sin, you just go out there and live like you want to, you haven't seen Christ. You haven't seen him. This is a comfort for God's people when they can't stop sinning. I mean, I don't want to sin, do you? I don't want to. But when I can't stop sinning, this is our comfort. God will never cast away his people, which he foreknew. Because he's true to his word. Because he keeps those people. He sees those people in his Son. And all of God's truth is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Christ has saved me, God will be true to his word. And I'll always be saved. I can never lose it in him. God will never cast me out. Since God's elect are complete in Christ, that means every believer is complete in God's sight. Now, that's not the way I see myself, but that's the way God sees me in Christ. If I'm complete in Christ, I'm the righteousness of God in him. And I'm completely righteous, I can't get more righteous. I'm holy, I can't get more holy. I'm redeemed, and I can't get more redeemed. I'm justified, and I can't get more justified. I'm complete, and I can't get more complete. Complete's complete. Full is full. I can't get more. And the believer has all that in Christ, through union with Christ. Because the body is whatever the head is. And the believer has all of this right now. Right now. The believer is not in the process of becoming more righteous or more holy or more justified or more loved of God. You know, God doesn't love you, you know, this much today, but he only loves you this much tomorrow because you didn't do very good today. This is not a work in progress. If you're in Christ, you can't be made better. It's impossible. You can't be improved. I always hate it if I have to do a software upgrade on my computer. I hate it. I mean, I hate it. I just avoid it. I try to ignore it and won't do it until they just don't support, you know, your software anymore. It won't work. You got to do this stupid update. And I just think, why couldn't you have made it right the first time? There's never a reason for version 3.1 in a believer. You're already perfect. Perfect in Christ. This is not piecemeal. It's not, you know, a little bit better every day. No. Perfect. Complete in Christ. So that you'll never be more righteous, never be more holy, never be more justified, never be more loved of God. Now, we grow in grace. I mean, you know, don't mistake me. The believer grows, don't we? We grow in grace. We grow in the knowledge of Christ. We mature in the faith. But we don't become more righteous. We don't become more justified. We don't become more holy. Complete in Christ. And I know it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way because his flesh is dead and rotten and stinking and got to be put in the ground. But this is the way that God has made all of his people perfect, complete in Christ. Right now. right now. And I'm telling you, it better be right now. It better not be someday. I better not be waiting. Someday I'm going to be made righteous. Because God can't accept you or me that way unless we're complete, lacking nothing. So he made his people complete in Christ, lacking absolutely nothing that God requires. That's the only way God can accept us. Now it's easy to see. Christ is complete. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's complete. Nothing can be added to Christ. That's easy to see. And of course he's perfect. Well, being in Christ, being saved by Christ means this. Nothing can be added to you either. Because you're complete in him. Christ is everything God requires of you. Now that's a miracle, isn't it? What a miracle of God's power, a miracle of God's grace, that he would make his people complete. And I can't go on without reminding us about this. Where does this completeness come from? It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's all of God's grace. It's all of God's power. It's all of God's work for me and all of God's work in me. And my work adds nothing to it. If I try to add my work to the completeness of Christ, I'm going to ruin it. It's all Christ. It's all in him. Now I tell you, it's all in him, so believe him. Trust him. If Christ is everything that you need, why wouldn't you trust him? Why wouldn't you rest in him if he's everything that you need? And here's why I stress this. You're complete in Christ is the completeness of everything that God is. If you're in Christ, you lack nothing. Here's why I stress that. Because nothing will cause a sinner to run to Christ more quickly. Nothing will cause a poor, weak child of God to cling to Christ more fully than knowing he's everything God requires of me. Now you come to him and believe him. This is not a piecemeal thing. It's immediately made complete in Christ. And I tell you, nothing makes me more thrilled to depend on Christ alone than hearing that. Does it you? All right, here's the second thing. Christ is the completeness of the new birth. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, Paul isn't talking here about the fleshly circumcision of the foreskin that was required by the law. He's talking about spiritual circumcision. And that which is the new birth, if you look at verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. The uncircumcision of the flesh means you're spiritually dead, dead in your sins. You hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, this is talking about spiritual circumcision that gives life and a new birth to his people. And I'll show you that if you look at Romans chapter 2. Romans, the second chapter. See, this is not an outward thing. It's spiritual. It's a work of God in the heart. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision, this spiritual circumcision we're talking about, is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. See, in spiritual circumcision, the hardness of the heart is cut away. You know, we're talking about the circumcision where part of the flesh is cut away, because the flesh profits nothing in salvation, does it? The flesh profits nothing spiritually. And the way the hardness of the heart is cut away is by the Holy Spirit giving a new heart. Now, spiritual circumcision, I mean, we talk about the cutting away of the heart. The old heart's not cut away in the sense that it's removed and you don't have this sin nature anymore. You don't have a desire to sin or something anymore. Now, the new birth, the old heart is still there. The circumcision is just a picture. It's not perfect. It's just a picture. In the new birth, God gives a new heart. So that there's two natures inside of every believer. The flesh and the spirit. The dead, sinful flesh and the holy, righteous spirit. So the old, dead heart, that old, stony heart that cannot love Christ, that cannot believe Christ, that can't do anything but sin, that heart's still there. But here's where the circumcision comes in. The power of that old heart is cut away. Its power is cut away. The old nature is still there. It's just not in control anymore in the believer. Now, please don't misunderstand this or you get so discouraged you'll quit. That doesn't mean that with the power of the old heart being cut away that you have the power to stop sinning, or that you have the power to sin less than you ever did before. Matter of fact, when you're born again, this is what you'll think. You'll think, how can I say that I'm a saved person? How can I say that I know Christ? I'm sinning more than I ever did before. You know why you think that? Because only the new man can see the sin of the old man. Only the new man can understand what sin is, that it's spiritual. That it's what we talked about in the lesson this morning. It's of the heart, not an outward action. The cutting away of the old dead heart, cutting away the power of that old nature means this. That old nature that used to have power over you, that old nature that made you, when you heard the gospel, made you have no interest in it. Or that old nature that made you think and you thought, well, I'd like to believe that. I'd like to believe that preacher's saying. I'd like to believe this Christ. I'd like to find this rest and hope and peace in Him. But I can't see. I can't see how to do it. I can't make myself believe Christ. That's the power of the old nature stopping you from being able to see, stopping you from able to believe Christ. The power of that nature is now taken away, and there's a new sheriff in town. The new nature that God gives in the new birth, that nature's in charge. Oh, the old nature tries to make you not believe, but it can't anymore. Now you believe Christ, and you can't believe anything else. You can't quit believing Him. That old nature is constantly trying to bring you back under the rule of the law, telling you, you got to do this, you got to do this, you can't do this, or you're not a believer. The old nature, that is the old nature trying to bring you back into captivity to the law, but thankfully, that nature's not in charge anymore. And the new nature that God gives is in charge, so that you can't go back under the law. So that you can't believe anybody but Christ. You can't find any rest, any hope, any comfort, any peace, any assurance for your soul anywhere but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that describe you? Then you've been born again. That's the circumcision of the heart. And this new birth, this new life, it's complete in Christ. See, it's completely trusting Christ and Christ alone. All right, thirdly. Christ is completely the believer's confession of faith. Verse 12, Colossians chapter 2. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Now every believer knows this, and we believe this, that we're complete only in Christ. That Christ is all of my salvation. He's all of my righteousness. He's all of my holiness. He's all of my hope. Everything's in Him. He's all of my salvation. Not only has all of my salvation been accomplished by Christ, but He personally is all of my salvation. And the best way I can think of an illustration to describe that Christ personally is all of my salvation. Best example I can think of is marriage. I know there's a lot of books written, a lot of thoughts, you know, on marriage. You talk about marriage and there's rules and regulations, things you're supposed to do, things you're not supposed to do, all that stuff, you know. But you know what marriage is to me? Gina. It's a person to me. And all those rules, all those regulations, all those things I'm supposed to do, not supposed to do, you know how all that is applied to my heart? You know how I see all that? It's her. Since I love her, I won't cheat on her. I'll be faithful to her. It's a person. Salvation is the same way. Salvation is a person. Yes, Christ accomplished it for me. There are some legal matters that must be taken care of. My sin must be put away. It's got to be paid for. I've got to be made righteous. God can't accept me if not. He did those things. He applied them to my heart. But salvation is not those things to me. Salvation is not the work of Christ on the cross for me. Salvation is Christ. It's not trusting his work. It's trusting him. Now, there's a big difference there. It's trusting him. It's not loving the work. It's loving him. And that's what a believer confesses in believer's baptism. We're confessing, I don't do anything to make this salvation effectual to me. Christ is all of my salvation. When he lived, I lived in him. When I'm baptized, this is what I'm confessing. I am so sinful. I'm so vile. The only way my sin can be put away is by the Son of God dying and rising again for me as my substitute. That's the only way I can be saved. In baptism, we confess union with Christ, that I'm complete in him. When he lived, I lived. What he did, I did, because he's the head and I'm the body. The body does everything the head does. I'm completely saved in Christ by being in him. When Christ died, he died for my sin. He was made sin for me. He took my sin and he made it his. And when he died, I died in him. I died in him. I'm in Christ. So when he died, I did whatever he did. When he died, I died in him. Now I've already died to God's justice in the person of my representative. So I'm dead to the condemnation of the law. The law can't condemn me again. I've already been condemned in the person of my substitute. The law has no claim on me anymore because I already died to it. I already died to the demands of the law in Christ. So I don't have to keep the law in order to be righteous. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm complete in him. I am dead to the demands of the law, and the law is dead to me. I have no relationship to the law whatsoever because I'm saved in Christ. When he died, I died in him. So no more claims of the law on me. And when I'm baptized confessing that when Christ was buried, I was buried in him. He truly died. I mean, they took a dead body down from that cross and laid a dead body in that tomb. When Christ died, I died in him. And since I was buried in Christ, I'm free from worry that my sin is ever going to condemn me anymore. Because my sin was buried in Christ, my substitute. And it's put away. It'll never be heard from again. And this is important. When I'm baptized, I'm confessing that when Christ arose from the tomb, I rose in him. There's no salvation without his resurrection. If the sacrifice of Christ didn't put away the sin of God's people, he was made sin for his people. If his death didn't put that sin away, he'd never rise from the dead. And God's people would still be in their sins. But thank God he did rise again. You know why he rose again? Because all of that sin that was laid on him is put away by the power of his death, by the power of his blood. And the Father raised him from the dead by the power of God. Now, I can't understand that. I don't have any concept of the power that it takes to make a dead person live. But God used the exact same power to make this dead sinner, spiritually dead sinner, live. Live. To live in Christ. He is my life. And when I'm baptized, that's what I'm confessing. I'm complete in him. He is completely all of my hope of redemption. Now, being dunked under the water, I tell you this all the time. We have a baptismal service. I fill that pool up with a garden hose. That water, I mean, you know, if you remember when you were a kid, you drink water, the summertime be so hot, and you drink water out of the garden hose. It's that water. I mean, you know, it's relatively clean, but, you know, it's not going to cleanse anybody of their sin. It's not going to help anybody's soul. But being dunked under that water, it doesn't do anything for the flesh, does it? It doesn't cleanse the soul. But boy, it sure gives us a beautiful picture, doesn't it? It gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he saved his people. and he's all my hope. He's all my confession of salvation, that I'm saved by being in him, complete in him. That's the only way God can accept me. That's a glorious confession, isn't it? And you know what? That gives a believer good hope. Good hope. If my hope depended on me always doing everything right and always showing a good attitude, I wouldn't have good hope, would I? But if my hope is being in Christ, that I'm complete in him, that I'm as righteous as he is, that I'm as holy as he is, that I'm as loved as he is, that I'm as accepted of the Father as he is, I have a good hope. I can expect one day to finally leave his body of sin behind and go be with him face to face. Come in him. It's all in him. All right. Well, hope the Lord bless that to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of salvation, that you put it all in one person, in your Lord Jesus Christ, that he's accomplished it all and he is all for his people. Father, how I pray that you would see each of us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd be complete in him, that we not depend on any of our works or morality or anything about us, but completely trust in and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful we are for your power that makes your people complete, lacking nothing, having everything that you require in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you give us faith to believe him and rest in him and to be found in him. It's in his precious name, for his sake and his glory, we pray. Amen. All right, Isaac.
Stand and sing 509.
Time or sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but day spring is at hand, and glory, glory. Well of love, the streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit, I know no other stand, not e'en where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace, not at the cross. his pierced hand, the Lamb.